A liar.
Aye.
Care to prove it? Shall we go back inside? And you can tell the sheriff the truth.
He's not in Wyoming. He's not anywhere.
How would you know? How would you know where he is?
No bank will let a woman carry a note. No government will transfer a lease for her either. Your little charade can only last so long.
When my charade is over, so are you. Men kill with bullets or a noose, which is to say men kill quick. Your fight is with me now. I kill much slower.
Welcome to the show. My name is Alex.
And I'm Jerry.
And today we are talking Yellowstone / 1923, and we have got a barn burner of an episode. You know, title of the episode is The War and the Turquoise Tide, and it could not be more fitting. What'd you think, Jerry?
Damn. There's a lot of stuff set up, and we have a one-month break as well.
Pretty much that was my feeling, too. Like, holy crap. They just did this to us, and they're going to go on a one-month break. How friggin' dare they? You know, when it comes to this episode, there was one thing that people wanted to know. What the heck happened to Jacob, and did he survive?
Yes.
And, you know, did you really think they were going to kill him off?
I thought there might have been an outside chance, but they still could, because it sounds like he's just barely hanging on at the moment.
Well, he may be barely hanging on, but he's still the force of the Yellowstone. Wait, yeah. I should say he's the backbone, and I think we found out that the real force is the lady of the house.
Yeah, Clara.
Clara. And if there's a woman that could carry it, Helen Mirren did an excellent job of proving that the women in Yellowstone world, the Duttons are the strongest, most powerful, most amazing people that could possibly be in terms of actresses and characters. But before we get into all that, I just wanted to see what was, you know, when we talk about this, we've got three storylines going on, right?
Correct.
And, you know, what was nice about this episode, and not so nice, they actually talked about all three this episode. You know, we'll get into the good, the bad, and definitely the ugly of this world. But, you know, they start off in, if I'm not mistaken, the most beautiful place in the world, I would think. And, you know, they start with Spencer and with Alex. And, you know, like any good vacation, they are on vacation, if there's no other word for it. You know, what was your thoughts of that whole scene? And because it was a pretty dynamic, the whole thing was pretty dynamic. It wasn't just one thing. And, you know, why don't you talk about your thoughts on that first scene with Alex and Spencer.
Yeah, this is when they're doing their like very early prequel of The Blue Lagoon.
Looks like. I was thinking the same thing. No, I'm laughing because that's exactly what I thought. This is The Blue Lagoon, adult version.
Yeah, and what, you know, what they're doing here is they're kind of like just enjoying each other's company, and you know, Spencer's like, you know, after the incident with the lions and the elephants and everything else that happened.
Tigers,
you know,
being put up the,
yeah, without the bears, you know, and the tigers. Yeah, but the but here, you know, it's just about coming to terms and being trying to be at peace, because having, you know, if you've experienced, you know, I haven't experienced anything as traumatic as being in war, thankfully, but I can understand that, you know, if you've gone through an ordeal, you want some measure of peace. Mm-hmm. And as well as Alexandra has, you know, with having her, you know, life, you know, hanging by a rope here, but here, you know, they're trying to be at peace and they're discussing the future and they're having some very good discussions about, you know, what did the war cost you? And she says her brother.
Right. And she has a vested interest, mm-hmm, in the war. You know, there's a lot to be said for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
please go. Yeah. And Spencer said, you know, it cost him his soul, but he's like, I think he's slowly getting that back. Because with Alexandra, it's like, you know, you're trying to find, you know, this peace in life again. That's what I would think. So,
well, you know, World War One, and we talked about it a little bit before, it was a stalemate. I mean, mm-hmm, there was just no other word for it. It was a stalemate. And I talked about this on the last podcast or last episode. You know, it was the first time that there was so much mechanized war, like modern war. And, you know, so many books were written about World War One. I know you probably read The Red Badge of Courage and, you know, all these different books that are out there. And it was trench warfare. And it was the first time really that there was the term shell-shocked, mm-hmm, came into play. And I bring all this up because as much as it's not part of the show, it's actually all about the show. And his story or arc, I mean, he ran away from home to just get away from everybody because, you know, at the end of the day, who wants to deal with responsibility if you don't have to? And I think that the one thing that Alex brings to this table is she really found his soul and the person that he used to be and married it with the person that he is now. And like you said, the Blue Lagoon really had something to do with that. And, you know, she and him are definitely not hard on the eyes. So they really went to central casting to get the two ugliest people possible.
Exactly.
No, I mean, it's a great scene. And, but what comes out of it is something really important. The letters.
Yeah. And can we discuss the letters? You know, I just want to take this through.
Please. You're the Blue Lagoon expert right now. So it's all about you.
Yeah, but what I wanted to go back to is, like, I wanted to kind of take it in order.
Oh, no, please. Yes. Yeah. I know I love to jump ahead, so please. Folks, I'm the worst at this. I just learned how to podcast, so Jerry's the one that's going to keep me on task.
Okay, but what we see, like, when the episode starts out is that we see Kara kind of, you know, suffering the aftermath, you know, kind of wailing in the field of what's, you know, after she wrote the letter. She's like out in the field and just wailing, just kind of taking it all in.
Right.
And finally able to let go, you know, and let it all out. And we get to see when she goes back in the kitchen, she's talking with, I think his name's Ezra.
Right.
And we could kind of get to see the aftermath after what, you know, what happened in the kitchen after cleaning up from treating Jacob and Elizabeth.
It reminded me of the episode of Terminus. I mean, blood everywhere. and the images, mm-hmm, and the fact that there was just total mayhem and chaos, mm-hmm, and it really was pretty powerful. Especially in that time, there's no doctors, there's no this, there's no that, mm-hmm, and they're just doing good old fashioned field medicine.
Yeah. At that point. Yeah. And from this point, you know, like they showed, I think it was like a bottle of iodine trying to, you know, just kind of setting the scene. And she's trying to clean up and she tells Ezra to, you know, take the letter in my pocket and send it out. And he's like, it could take months to get there.
Right.
Yeah. And after this, we see Emma just kind of being numb, you know, because she just lost her husband. You know, she's out and she like walks out to the field and starts to dig a hole to bury him. And we see some other employees, you know, like up on the hills, like, what's she doing? And it's like, oh, now I know what she's doing. When she grabs a shovel and all the guys ride down there and start to help her dig, you know, dig the grave for him. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of, you know, what, you know, one of those caring things is like, yeah, let's help her. You know, we only lost, you know, like an employer, but she lost her husband and they may have lost a friend or something.
You know? Well, I mean, they knew, like, mm-hmm. once they saw that, it's like, okay, we need to get our butts down there and mm-hmm. and help our boss's wife bury her husband. And you know, I just want to go back to Zane. It's Zane's
Zane again.
Zane. I know the viewers are gonna be like, they don't even know who the characters are.
A lot of characters.
You know, when Zane takes that, I mean, I guess he's kind of like almost the rip of of the story. I mean, he's basically the right-hand man of everybody of the ranch. And I do love why Clara makes him send the letter, because if they do it by telegram, somebody's got to do that telegram. And as they used to say in World War II, loose lips sink ships, and mm-hmm. everybody's got loose lips. And you know, this Western / mafia story, it's all about perceived power, and they do a great job of really setting the table for the main show. It's all about power and perceived power. Who has it, who wants it, who's trying to get it. And I think, you know, the mountains behind me is what it's all about. And, I think that they do a great job of that. One other thing I do want to talk about with the opening is there was one thing that was omitted that actually went in the middle. And we're going to talk about exactly what was said, but we didn't have your favorite girl speaking in the beginning.
Yeah, no voiceover in the beginning this time.
No voiceover in the beginning, which I think was kind of different mm-hmm. and also was surprising, but it kind of made you anticipate what if anything she was going to say. And when we get to that, you know, obviously we'll talk about it. But you know, so they're digging and they're helping their boss's wife bury their boss. And then what else did you want to talk about that whole section?
Yeah, well, that you know, then after that happens, you know, Kara goes back to check in on Elizabeth and her fiance, who's keeping vigil, and she's, you know, trying to say, you know, trying to keep Jack from doing what he wants to do, because he's like, you got a busted up shoulder, you know, don't carry water, and because he wants to draw her a bath. But it's just about checking in on her and showing that she's most likely going to recover, because she was only like shot, you know,
only in the stomach. It went through. It's all good.
It went through. Well,
yeah, in the West, it's all good.
Not a bad gut shot. It was like, I think it was like more in the meat on the side, but you know, didn't.
You know. Yeah. Mesa, whatever. I mean, she looks like she's going to end up making a full recovery.
Yeah, but it's going to take her a little while.
It's going to take time, but it's definitely going to mm-hmm. be a full recovery. And, you know, Jack is in a weird position because he's the nephew mm-hmm. and he's not in charge, but he's not in charge. And who walks in? Who ends up coming to the doorstep and wants to see their daughter?
Oh, Elizabeth's mother.
And she was very happy, wasn't she?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah. She,
like every mother that could be as pissed as possible for making bad choices as a mom could make. And I just... the first episode really kind of solidifies what this show is about. When she talked to Mrs. Dutton about the wedding, she said, either you're in or you're out. Let the boy go or you're in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she stood up for her mom. I mean, she stood up for herself against her mom, which I think would be kind of a huge deal. Yeah. It sounds like the mom didn't even want to be there. She'd rather be in the city. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I love how she's like, where's my husband? Ice house. And yeah. And she's like, I'll take you. No, I'll find my own way. And I just find that there was a lot of, for lack of a better term, swinging guns going around there. Yeah. for being politically correct. And there's only one big gun in that house.
Yeah.
And that's Mrs. Dutton.
Yeah. But Kara does take some charge because I think it was it. Jack tried to talk back to Elizabeth's mother. Her mom slaps Jack and then she turns her around and smacks her. And I was like,
right there.
Oh, Kara. Yes.
It cares. Like I'm the only one that disciplines my nephew. I was like, holy shit. But that was a great exchange between her and Elizabeth's mom. I mean, yeah. it just really solidifies everything about Yellowstone. And, you know, I loved her little monologue at the end when she was at the carriage. She's like, Elizabeth is free to do what she wants at the Yellowstone, but mm-hmm. nobody, and I mean nobody, is coming in here and telling anybody what's what.
Yeah, because I think she said something like, she's free to leave, but you can't take her.
Right, exactly, exactly. And I love how right before that, you know, you need to make a decision and you're like, well, I'm staying. Well, I guess the decision is made, you know? Mm-hmm. And I just think that that's just so amazing how mm-hmm. strong a unit is. Yeah. And the Duttons are, yes. they have no lack of drama in that family, but they embrace it. They embrace it full heartedly. And I just love it. So,
And that just kind of shows her dedication when she says, when Elizabeth kind of like throws her lot in, it's like Kara says, all right, we're in.
And we're in. And, you mm-hmm. know, I really do believe that the talk that she had on the porch, she listened and she mm-hmm. knows what the deal is, for better or for worse.
Yeah.
I mean, she's like ready to plan the wedding and the mom's like, yeah, no, we're going to a real hospital with real medication. No, we're not. We're staying here because this is where my roots are.
Yeah.
This is where I'm putting my stakes in. And I know you live in California and it's a little bit different there. And what I mean by that compared to the East Coast, you know, something old here is like nothing. You know, like something that's 100 years old here is like, you know, not as old there. And as old as we think is in the East Coast, the people from England and Europe are like, yeah, that's nothing. We got stuff that are, you know, thousands and thousands of years old. You know, here's a castle that my great, great 12th grandfather built. So, you know, it's all relative. But, mm-hmm. You know, we're talking three generations in and, you know, they're trying to keep what's theirs, what's theirs. So we deal with that situation. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go to, I believe we go to Blue Lagoon, right?
Oh, no, we go down to see what happened to the sheep. Herders.
Oh, yes. The sheep. Oh, yes. I forgot.
Yeah. Banner and his, you know, he makes his up
boys.
A pair of boys. And now he has all of a 3-man army.
Yep.
We finally get to see Timothy Dalton show up.
Yep.
The character's name is Donald Whitfield, and he's kind of like this rich guy who ends up being a financier for the army that Banner wants to create to take over the Yellowstone because, you know, you both need men and money. You know,
right.
This guy's got the money, and Banner can find the men.
Well, he's like, he asked him, do you want the men or do you want the money? Mm-hmm. And he's like, I want the money. And mm-hmm. and what I love about that scene is, you know, Banner goes in there, you know, acting like he's, you know, the man, and I'm going to give you this and I'm going to give you that. And Timothy Dalton or, you know, Mr. Winfield is like, you got nothing. Yes. Until we start talking mineral rights, you have to have minerals to have mineral rights. Mm-hmm. You know, he's like, I'll get them. I'll get them. And, you know, he can't, he underestimates the family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just so funny because he's such a good bad guy. Because, you know, even at Game of Thrones, he was such a good prick. And yeah. he's really just, and I hate to say it like that, but he's a great actor that can be such a prick.
Yes, he
and that's what makes him so, you know, juicy. But seeing Timothy Dalton, it's like, I mean, they could not have casted a better, you know, bad guy for the Duttons to kind of go up against.
Yeah. And even a worse guy than Banner. So.
Oh, absolutely. Cause you know, he is going to be, much more deadly because he's got more yes. resources and mm-hmm. He's played the game. He knows how to win the game and he thinks that these are like they've always done in Yellowstone. He thinks that these guys are a bunch of country bumpkins that don't know their head from their ass. Yeah. Well, you know, we got a problem. You know, this all started with sheep and now Banner thinks what? Oh, I can just do what I want. So what does he do?
Really.
Yeah. And he takes the cattle, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that that's kind of a, you know, I bet that happened back in the day and it might even happen today. I mean, you know, who knows, but things are, maybe these cows are chipped or whatever else, but it's just pretty amazing how that type of industry hasn't changed that much.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the current episodes, they have a whole branding thing and they're having problems with the hay and the sickness and they got to do all sorts of different things. And you really are, you live and die by the land.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of an amazing thing. So,
yeah. Yeah. And for this deal, it's like, yeah, you know, I want the mineral rights after you take over, you know, with the army that I'm going to provide the money for.
Yeah.
And all you get to, all you're going to have is now you get to go back to grazing your sheep on where you want.
Right.
Which isn't, you know, which is like, yeah, okay. But it's again, they just eat the grass down to nothing. So you're going to have like, you know, either reseed it or do something with it or just, you know, keep them moving.
Well,
but this guy, you know, Banner, in my estimation, made a deal with the devil here.
Well, I think that, you know, Banner is out of his league.
Mm-hmm.
He's playing with he's playing in a game that he doesn't even know the rules.
Correct.
And I think that that's the problem. And I think that, you know, he's getting it from both ends because he got it from Jacob. He's playing a game that he couldn't win. And now he's playing it with Whitfield. And I think also because he's a sheep herder, he's in the wrong place trying to raise sheep.
Yeah.
He needs to raise anything but sheep because it's just the worst thing to be raising right in this area. Yeah. So, you know, we'll see how that all works out for him because he's not going anywhere anytime soon.
Mm-hmm. See, and then we get to see after, you know, we get after the, you know, when we kick back and say after the mom leaves, we get to see Jacob. Kara goes to talk to Jacob and go over a plan for the herd that, you know, what's left of the herd after Banner stole the other half that
right,
Jacob had
right,
taken up
right,
in the
right.
mountains. So, you know, that herd, you know.
Well, she was gone. Just praying and all mm-hmm. of a sudden he started talking. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she's praying to Mother Mary and what are we going to do? And I love her vulnerability. And one of the things that I also love about her, you know, in most mafia type things. I mean, I know I keep going back to mafia, but they're the ones that kind of set the stage for this by saying it is You never let him see you sweat.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the general doesn't complain to the privates. They complain to the other generals. And, you know, everybody complains upward, you know? Mm-hmm. I always think of Saving Private Ryan when they ask him about the war. He's like, well, yeah, you complain to me. And well, who do you complain to? Oh, I complain to the major. And the major complains to the general. And he's like, well, why don't you complain? Well, it doesn't work that way. We never complain down. We only complain up. And I think because we're in a war, that's the same type of attitude. And she does such a good job of not only keeping it together at the right time, but losing it at the right time when she can.
Yeah.
So that's a great vulnerability by her. And I just love that scene because you can still see their love.
Yeah.
And I think that that's an amazing thing to see.
Yeah. And it takes a very brave person to say, yeah, just let them go. We have a different plan. So,
well, I mean, the first reaction is to come back hard, but you know, the proper thing is, You don't run in when you're not at your full plan.
Yeah.
You always have to you know, recoil, come up with your plan, and then enact it. It's very few times that you can just run in and go in guns blazing and win. And that's what Banner's expecting. Mm-hmm. You know, Banner's expecting this big charge with nothing, and he's gonna have this huge army, and it just didn't happen.
And that's because it's what Banner would have done.
Exactly. It's exactly what Banner would have done. Cause he's not, as smart as he is, he's not exactly the most, educated in this type of situation.
Yeah. He's not a tactician.
No.
Okay. And speaking of war,
yep,
we go back to the war between Tiona and Sister Mary.
Oh, that was so much fun. I mean, it was just a heartfelt, you know, they just get along so well.
Yes.
I mean, you know, the love fest, it just wanted to, you know, it punched you right in the face, the love.
Yeah. Or crack you in the head with a bucket and then a shovel. And
and then brand you.
But see here, you know, well, because, you know, when the girl's trying to pick, you know, some stuff out of the bush and she's like,
the berries.
Know, and the berries out of the bush, and it's like the thorns are hitting my hands. Like, well, just, I would have said, okay, just take your time, get them done, you know, rather than try and smack the hell out of her.
Wait, no. Her answer was, Jesus wore a crown of thorns.
Yeah.
Okay. That's your answer, is Jesus would have, you know, I ref football, and I tell people this all the time. If I went to your work and yelled at you like you yell at me, you would not want to do the work that you do. And it's the same thing here. Like, somebody's over you, hitting you every time you make a mistake. I mean, God, it was just ridiculous. So our favorite character, Rainwater. I can't. Is it Tiona?
Tiona.
Tiona Rainwater decides she's had enough again. Mm-hmm. And she takes the bucket and, let's just call it what it is, she beats the shit out of her
again.
But what was amazing was when they showed them all before this happened, they all had, you know, different stages of black and blue marks all over. It's like
bruises,
it's like the Hunger Games in this place. Actually, the Hunger Games at least had good food in the beginning.
Yeah, at the very least, yeah.
So
yeah, but it's but we get to see, you know, after that happens, you know, they have her tied in a chair and smacking the hell out of her again.
And like she's supposed to just say, I love you guys so much for beating the shit out of me that I think that you're right.
Mm-hmm.
And she says what? The exact opposite, right?
Yeah.
And then eventually she realizes they're only going to accept one answer. So she decides,
just tell them what they want to hear.
And then they cut her hair.
Oh,
which in the Indian culture is probably the worst thing that you could do. I mean, we saw in Yellowstone, what's her name? Oh, geez. Forgive me, folks. I've gotta look this up. Monica Long Dutton, she cuts her hair after the death of her child, mm-hmm. after the death of Casey and her child. And she said, you know, that's going to help them. It's a change of life. And again, I don't know that much about the American Indian culture, but it's an important thing. So they cut her hair, they give her a bob, they do all this other crap. And scrub her
open wounds on her back.
Oh, with the most rigid brushes that you could possibly find. And she's supposed to like be grateful, you know, because, you know, as much pain as she's had, Jesus has endured worse. Well, I mean, that Jesus mean died that. At least, you know, I mean, it wasn't at least well, he get to die.
Well, I'd always use the reasoning is like, well, because somebody else suffered, I have to suffer.
Well, and, you know, I mean, there's been well documented books and everything else, how, you know, religion is a good thing, but it also was interpreted, whether it was the Crusades or even the indoctrination of Christianity and new cultures. The Indians have been getting this thrown down their throat since the beginning of the formation of our country, you know, because they're not cultured enough. You know, they don't believe in God. They don't believe in what we believe in. Well, they actually believe in the land and the wind as its own entity. Mm-hmm. And she really amplifies that when she decides she's had enough.
Yeah. And when I saw her, you know, after when they show the scene during that night when she starts to put the paint on her face, I was like,
the war paint.
Somebody's gonna die.
Somebody's done. I mean, somebody's done, and I knew this was gonna happen because mm-hmm. all I thought was Full Metal Jacket.
Yes.
And when she took those Bibles, I'm like, that son of a bitch is going to beat the shit out of her with those Bibles. Yeah. And what was really amazing was she asked her, I mean, she was talking in her native tongue and she was asking the other girls to come or her best friend to come. And she's like, no, they're going to catch us and they're going to do this and they're going to do that. And she basically said, what's different?
Yeah,
there's not much different than what
like they could make it any worse.
It couldn't be any worse than what it is. So she takes all the Bibles, and you know, I guess her friend is like, Sister Kevorkian is going to be pissed, and Sister Alice, is going to be pissed, and she just hauls off. It was awesome. I mean, it was just friggin' awesome. And
yeah. Well, yeah, because it knocked her completely senseless, you know, after because she was in a great deal of pain, knocked her out and then just smothered her.
Ah. And then she took the rag and put it in her mouth. Mm-hmm. And then she started the fire. I thought she was gonna burn the place down, but she didn't. She just wanted to brand her. Mm-hmm. On the cheek a little with the ruler.
Yeah. With the ruler that she loves so much.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it just goes to show you how brutal this time was. And I don't think it was, I don't think they're exaggerating. I mean, you know, you look at The Handmaid's Tale, and The Handmaid's Tale, which, you know, Jason and Wendy and Daphne cover, I mean, every single one of those things has happened in the world at one time or another, just not all in Gilead, because obviously there's no Gilead, but they've all happened. And when you look at that and you look at the treatment of women throughout the world and throughout the time, or even just the treatment of cultures, I mean, it's just, it's awful. I mean, yeah. it just doesn't get any worse than that. It shows the worst of our humanity, unfortunately. And it's all under the guidance of God. And that's what's really kind of the worst part of it, because, you know, however you interpret the Bible, whether you're a religious person or not, it's the interpretation of it that's really the downfall of society. It's not the book. It's like guns don't kill people. It's the people that are holding them that kill people. And it's the same thing with the Bible. It's like the Bible doesn't make people do crazy things. It's the people that interpret it that make people do crazy things. Yeah. So, but yeah, that was a great scene. If you like disgusting things like that.
Well, you push people hard enough and, you know, they're going to push back, and she pushed back very hard.
Well, I mean, and the thing is, they knew she's loose cannon. And they kept doing it. And, you know, okay, fine. They're not beating her. They're beating her best friend. Or not even if it's her best friend, just one of her other country or family, you know, for lack of a better term. You know, it's just awful. But, you know, it is what it is. Now she's off and running, so to speak. So we don't know what's going to happen to her, but clearly she's going to have some plot armor, because they wouldn't have brought the story up unless it was important.
Correct.
You know, it's not like they're going to just end that and that's the end of it. Just to Taylor doesn't just write stuff for no reason. He has a reason for everything that he writes. So now that we got through the really fun part of the episode, what's next?
Well, we have Kara going to the Livestock Association meeting that Jacob was supposed to go to, looking like an absolute boss with her entourage of cowboys / bodyguards.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and at this meeting, she calls the formation of a police force, which is, I'm assuming, the same association police that the Duttons are serving in.
Well, and what's really interesting is you go back to the main show, and what's Casey? Casey is one of the officers that she created. And you know, what I find really fascinating is how she got it through. You know, there's one thing about this world or this time: women are treated a certain way.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like an it's kind of an oxymoron, because they're treated with the utmost respect in one sense, but then they're treated like a third class citizen in the same breath. So when she walks in, what does all the men do? They all stand up, they all give her due. And of course, the sheriff, Roger Patrick, says, okay, where is he? Oh, don't worry, I'll address it. She does what she does. And then Banner has to stick his 3 cents in, which is about 4 cents too much, and talks about the fact that she is not the commissioner. So she really has no reason to ask for the vote. And, you know, I mean, back then it was a different time and everything else, but, you know, she gives the letter to the sheriff, and is this legal? Yep, it's legal. Yep. And then they all fall into line, except for, of course, the sheep herders.
Yeah.
Because they're the ones that are getting screwed.
Yeah. And this is the point in time where they just took your word for it.
Oh, of course. I mean, you know, and you know what? A handshake meant something back then. You know, was there crooks? Were there all these people that swindled? Were they selling snake oil? All that. Yes.
Of course.
But at the same time, you know, the previous episode when they were in the town and Jacob was talking to one of the other ranchers, he's like, listen, I'm going to need help. I'm going to need the muscle kind of help. And he knew it was coming. And, you know, there's a term that my old football coach used to say, and it's a man is what a man does. And, you know, I don't care what you feel about, you know, the socialness of the political correctness, there's a lot of great stuff to that saying. You might talk the talk, but you got to walk the walk. And a man is what a man does, and that's what she did. She followed through. But I love the comment when they're walking out after everything happens.
Yeah, you know, Banner tries to call her out. By saying,
right before that, scenes like he didn't talk about that, and mm-hmm. she's like, "Yeah, I made it up," you know.
Yeah. As they're walking out.
But then we have the scene which we talked about, or what was in the cold open on the podcast, mm-hmm. and he made a good point though. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, if you want to go over, please. I mean, you know, Banner made a great point, thinking that he has all the cards. Yeah. You know, she has no land. They're not going to transfer it to her. They may or they may not. But, you know, she also has she has two aces in the hole. One, she's got her nephew, who's a man.
Mm-hmm.
The young one. But then... I wanted to put it in the beginning, but it was just too long. The zinger of all zingers. What did she say to him when she left?
Yeah, he said, well, I have my nephew. It's like and he says, I've met your nephew. He's not much to speak of. He's like, not that one.
Yeah, not that one. And then she just rides off, and he's like, oh shit, like I didn't plan that one. And what a great ending to it. I mean, mm-hmm. she just puts it all together, and you know she probably went home and just bawled her eyes out, like, what the frig just happened? I mean, she basically was taking a few hot seconds right out the door with Zane. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she caught her breath, and then all of a sudden Banner jumps her. So, you know, how do you feel they left this episode with the break coming up?
Well, this one, you know, it sets the stage for this confrontation, because when you Banner, you know, as we heard, you know, Banner, or I think it was before this, but Banner tries to call her out, saying, you know, he's not in Wyoming. It's like, how do you know?
I know. So, I mean, and you know, she could be bluffing,
mm-hmm.
but she's not a woman that, you know.
I wouldn't say she's prone to bluffing.
So. Oh, I'm just saying like she could be bluffing, but then again, she may not be. And mm-hmm. I think that, you know, what's next for the Duttons is really the main point of what's going to happen in the next four episodes. 'Cause we only have four more. It's only an eight episode run. And you know, what are some of the questions that you're looking to get answered in these next four episodes?
Well, I want to know when Spencer's going to arrive.
Right. Anything else? Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. No, keep going. Yeah.
I got to see is like, what kind of force is going to be, you know, put together to fight Banner's forces and Whitfield as well. And how much are they going to have to meet, you know, what kind of resources are they going to need to be able to match that?
And what state the Yellowstone is mm-hmm. when Spencer gets there. Because the fact is, you know, they got lucky. It's only been 3 months. Now, it mm-hmm. may take him a month to get home. Let's say they leave the Blue Lagoon right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it could take them a month or more, depending on where they are located in Africa. I mean, it's not like you can hop on a plane, folks. It's going to take a couple of weeks to get there. At the very least.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be optimistic. And once you get to America, you still got to get to Montana, mm-hmm. which is not exactly, you know, easy going. Yes, there's trains, whatever, but you still got to get there.
You figure, you know, probably 4 days to cross the ocean, 4 or 5 days to cross the ocean, depending on where you start out at, wherever he is, because he could be on the Indian Ocean side of Africa. So then they have to, and the Suez Canal thankfully was there. So,
I mean, let's just call it what it is. Is he coming from California or is he coming from New York?
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like a stupid question, but it really does matter. Mm-hmm. I do want to go back to the Blue Lagoon for one second, mm-hmm. As we like to call it, because I think it's really important that we talk about the fact that he decided to read the letters at all. Yeah. And I love his response to why he didn't read them. And, you know, I think that this is a very important point that I think is magnified in today's wars. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, we're very blessed in this time where we can use Zoom, we can use video conferencing, we can do all that. And it's a blessing because, you know, it's not, you're not away from your family, but it's also sort of a curse, because if you know and you're thinking about your family back home and their problems, you can't focus in on what you need to do, and that is to stay alive. And I think that he makes a very good point. I didn't read the letters because I wanted to stay focused and do my job. And the guys that read the letters weren't focused because they were thinking they were getting homesick or they were getting this, and they ended up getting
and some of them got killed.
And they got killed, and it was something over something that could have possibly been prevented. Uh-huh. I did love the flashbacks because it fascinates me. And I think that they did a great job of, you know, even with the helmets and the look, and it looked very, because it was World War II, it's the wrong way of saying it, but it looked very Save a Private Ryan in the sense of those up close, you feel like you're in it type of views. Yeah. It's clearly not Save a Private Ryan because it's a different war, but I'm just saying that way they filmed it, mm-hmm. it was like Band of Brothers. It was that technique of getting in those up close things with the slow motion shots. I mean, they did a great job. And they showed the tech, which was great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and for that, you know, because, you know, of course he'd have to make all that, you know, as authentic as you could. And thankfully they did their damnedest and it looks fairly close.
I, you know what? Even if it isn't, I'm drinking whatever he's selling.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm definitely drinking whatever he's selling.
Yeah. And after this, you know, and during this, because one of those letters, they were thinking back, you know, cause Kara was doing the voiceover about, you know, we get to see
choices.
She's talking about mechanized, you know, these mechanized things with belts for wheels and rotating.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's so funny how you wouldn't think what we take for granted. Simple mm-hmm. thing is a tank. And again, I mean, you have to look at the Duttons. How did they come in to the Livestock Association? On horses. Mm-hmm. What did Elizabeth's mom want to do? I'm sending a car.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very interesting time in 1923 because, you know, there's not paved roads, but we're still getting into this new modern world.
Yeah. And this is that transition time. And there's that overlap between people in the city where there are paved roads are starting to be, you know, a lot of paved roads. And as we saw last week about
the electricity
coming where the roads are starting to be paved.
Right. Right. No, absolutely. And there is a lot to be said for this. Mm-hmm. You know, progress is coming mm-hmm. and, you know, there's a lot of this in a lot of movies. I mean, you look at even something as The Last of the Mohegans, you know, there's a scene where the elder's talking to Hawkeye and he's saying how we fought off the Spanish and he's got the Spanish helmet. And, you know, but Hawkeye's like, they're coming whether we like it or not. And we just have to kind of, you know, there's no, and this theme has gone on for years in Westerns. You know, I mean, look at Dances with Wolves, another, you know, another relationship to, maybe that was Dances with Wolves. I know they'll be in the comments that I screwed it up, but I think it was Dances with Wolves, if I'm not mistaken. But my point being is the West is coming no matter what.
Yeah.
And it's like a freight train, literally and figuratively. And, you know, either you're on it or you're not. And I think this is the biggest dilemma for the Duttons is we've been doing it this way forever and it's worked. Well, you know what? Just because you're doing it forever doesn't mean you can't update what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I think that's the difference. Updating versus doing business the regular way is, you know, you're still doing the right business or doing it the way you should.
Yeah. And to go back to the letters, it's like we see the short montage of like a happy letter, sad letter.
All the different jokes that happen. And
yeah. We'll talk about nearly being drowned by a cow and then.
Yeah.
About Emma losing her baby, which was sad.
Right.
And she can't have any more. And the shocker of the, you know, what we get to finish off the episode with is Kara reads the letter that was written by, Alex reads the letter that was written by Kara last week, you know, in last week's
episode. Which is really surprising because did you think it was going to be there?
I looked at this like, it's got to be in the bottom of that stack.
Because you know, it was a hit or miss. It makes sense that it was there, but I could also see that it wasn't, and then he got it later. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it and how she's like, you need to read this, like you need to read this right now.
Yes,
and I love this is what's really good about that whole scene. They filled all the blanks in within 10 minutes, and it just erased all the questions of why he was there, what happened before while he was gone, this is what happened.
Yeah.
And it did it in such a lighthearted way and such a beautiful way. And I think that's just the genius of Taylor Sheridan. I mean, it's just it really, every single one of these episodes is like a movie. And I just think it's amazing. So
yeah, it's got great quality to it. But the one thing, remember I was talking about, you know, because I didn't exactly know where this, you know, where the storyline of Spencer and Alexandra,
right,
you know, was in relation to what was going on back in Montana.
Yeah, there was a little bit of a time question.
Time lag. Yeah, because then we finally found out is that where we see him now is 3 months after the events, after the shooting and the battle.
Right.
And see, now, you know, now we're all lined up. And so now I know where we're at.
Absolutely. And I think that that's what's great. I mean, I loved how they kept us looking back at it now. It's great that they kind of kept us in the dark.
Yeah.
But now that they've put us all back on the same page, it's great. I mean,
yeah. And still, yeah, and but to say, to go back to that, is that we still see this, you know, this lag behind of Montana and in Africa with Spencer. There's like, we shoot forward 3 months because that letter's been in transit and it's three months old. What we saw there, you know, Jacob's still on the bed, wounded.
Well, it's a medical. Yeah. I mean, medicine's not the same. I mean, you know, they're still doing some home remedies.
Yeah, and so when we come back in a month, we'll get to see, you know, what the result.
What time jump there is, if there's another time jump. What I find funny is, you know, talking about medicine, I loved Kara's little dig at the doctor. Oh, we got him on a good day. He wasn't drinking or else his hands might be a little bit, wouldn't be as straight.
Yeah, the stitches, you mean?
Yeah, the stitches wouldn't be as straight. But, I mean, yeah, 3 months into it, Jacob is still semi-conscious. Elizabeth is...
I don't think it's 3 months, but I'm saying what we see happening in Montana is still...
Oh, yeah, recent. Yeah, yeah. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, Spencer is like 3 months ahead, so...
Right. So, yeah, they're gonna hopefully get them all back on the same page when we come back.
Yeah, so when Spencer gets back, Jacob should be okay if he survives.
Hopefully. I mean, I can't see them killing him.
I hope not, because you know, if you convince someone like Harrison Ford to do TV, which I don't remember if he did any TV.
Well, he's done one thing that he doesn't want to remember. The Star Wars holiday special.
Oh, no, okay, that part of TV. Yeah.
I'm saying this totally jokingly. I'm saying this totally jokingly. But yeah, no, I mean, I don't think he's ever really been in any TV.
Not that I can recall.
He's always been a movie star. But that said, you hope that they get to work together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what it really comes down to. Do they actually get to work together? You kind of hope that works out, because you want to see Harrison Ford still you want him to still be able to give those gems, mm-hmm. pass those gems on. And the other thing, I would love to see him act with Spencer. Those two characters are, yeah. I mean, talk about, I mean, it's awesome. Yeah. It was, you know, funny you were asking about, did he do any TV? He's done some one-offs, you know, I mean, back in the 60s, he was doing like the Virginian Mob Squad. He did a couple of FBIs, okay. My Friend Tony. And then Love American Style, he did. I mean, how funny is that? He did a couple of Gunsmokes.
Well, I think Gunsmoke's been around long, you know, in its day, Gunsmoke was around long enough that everybody did Gunsmoke.
Well, yeah, it's like everybody was on Law and Order if you were a working actor. But the one that I want to go see is, he was in Kung Fu with David Carradine.
Oh my goodness.
I would love to go see that episode just to see what it's all about.
Okay, but, I got to look that up now.
We might have to find a way to see that.
I could probably find it somewhere. So.
I bet you could. But yeah, no, I mean, in terms of acting, you know, this is the longest run for a series that he's ever done. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty amazing. And I mean, I know we keep talking about all this star power, but it would be pretty amazing if him and Winfield would
that would be nice.
Lock horns. But mm-hmm. I have a feeling that Jacob Dutton is not going to be, I think he's going to bring in the general to deal mm-hmm. with him, which is Kara, because I think she is a lot, I don't want to say a lot stronger, but I can't see, I'm hoping that I'm wrong, but I can see those two facing off. And after seeing some of the previews, they have those two meeting, but I could totally see Timothy Dalton and him going at it. But I want to see her and Timothy Dalton going at it more, I think. Yeah. But you know,
yeah, even if they're trading barbs back and forth, that would be great to see.
I mean, they look like the main course, and Brenner and Harrison Ford look like the appetizer compared to those two. I mean, I know that sounds awful because you're talking about Harrison friggin' Ford, but I mean, we're talking about, you know, all main courses really, but it's just kind of neat. Do you have anything else, or am I missing anything, Jerry? Because I know you always have good notes.
Well, that's it for as far as what happens in the show. But I always appreciate, you know, in the middle of the show, we get the great voiceover from Isabel May, you know.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Who, what it boils down to is there is that, you know, we get it done or we die.
Well, and you have choices. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, you know, you always have a choice. But do you really know? I mean, because you're a Dutton, you do the right thing. Mm-hmm. You protect the family. It's always about the family. And I mean, she's talked about the family right off the bat in the first episode. They are no stranger to heartache. You know, we learned that from Yellowstone. from the first episode. We learned that from 1883, and now we're looking at 1923, which has been just as heartbreaking for the Duttons. I mean, the question is, this may sound like a silly question. You know, I know everything is perspective, but are the Duttons the good guys? It's a question. You look at 1883. Yeah, they were kind of the good guys, more or less. All he wanted to do was find some land. Now they've become a superpower. Are they really the good guys, or are they Negan? You know, I mean, and I say that because, wait, just hear me out for a second. If Negan, and I know this is a weird thing to say, if Walking Dead was the story of Negan and all of that, well, he's the good guy. You know, I mean, let's just say for argument's sake, well, then you get these upstarts to come in and kill some of my people. Well, then they're the bad guys. And I know that's a real stretch, but it's all perspective. That's my point.
Yeah,
that's my point. And I hope that they're the good guys. I believe that they're the good guys, but it'd be interesting to see, or at least have the conversation with the listeners. You know, could you make a case that they're not really the good guys? You know, you can make the case for anything.
Yeah.
They have so much land. Is it really fair that they have all that land and they go out of their way to not help anybody? Well, they help their own, they help their friends, but not to help outsiders.
Yeah. And, you know, and when you said fair, and I was like, well, what's fair? You know, fair is kind of an also relative term as well. So,
well, yeah. I mean, it comes down to this. The winners make the history, you know, the winners write the history. So, do you have any other notes? I just want to make sure we don't miss anything.
Yeah. One of Timothy Dalton, or I call him Dalton, but it's like the Whitfield lines to Banner. It's like, if you screw me on this, you know, it will not only be you that suffers, you know, like, I'll kill your wife, skin your, you know, like,
oh yeah, yeah, I'll skin your wife and then put your kid in
the hide.
Yeah, I was like,
damn, or something like that. But that was freaking dark.
Oh, I know. I mean, you'd think he was like the poster boy for the religious Indian school. He might be their benefactor or something. I think that was pretty wild how he just came at him so quickly like
if he's throwing that much, you know, seemingly that much money, you know, at the problem, and then he stands to make a ton more money in
millions, would really be billions.
Yeah. Well, yeah. In the mineral rights.
Right.
So,
I mean, yeah.
So, because they're after, you know, they're after gold and silver ore. In this case,
right, so. And they've got it all, and that's where it all is. It's in those mountains, so they better, they better try to get it. So, I think we put a nice bow on all this. I think it's a great episode. I think it's, I think all the episodes have been great, but it really set the table on what Carrie's going to be, as well as what the next four episodes are going to be.
So we'll have to see how that, you know, how that all plays out, and I'm looking forward to it. So,
I think that, you know, we did get some listener feedback, off the Facebook, machine, and I just want to read one of them. And I think we got a couple others. So from Sheila Ray Fisher, she says, hoping Spencer and Alex make it back to the States to help the family ranch, to save the ranch. I see the previews in February. It looks like their ship goes down. Surely they will make it, but I'm sure there'll be some shark drama. Well, you know, there's never enough drama in this series. So I'm hoping they make it too. So let's just keep our fingers crossed that everybody survives in February.
Yes.
There's some more feedback. What do you got for us, Jerry?
Okay. From Robin Litton Hudson, she says, today's episode was the best yet. I love Kara's grit, which I do too.
Kara is the woman. I mean, she is the iron fist, and we love her, and we can't wait to see more of her.
Yep. And the last one comes from Dana Farmer. She said, all she says is, I love this show, with a big heart emoji in the middle of it.
Of course. And you know what? We all do. I just think that it just hits on all the good points. And I was listening to an episode of Sunday Morning where they had the writer, Taylor, and he was talking about his career. But he said, and this is what really kind of sums up this whole world. He got notes from his mom as well as his daughter about the show. You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. the first time that they were both interested in the same show. And it's not by accident that Yellowstone is one, you know, the whole universe, all the shows are some of the most watched going on right now. And that's why when this came up, I said, I got to do this show. And I'm so glad that you were gracious enough to have the time to come on as well, because I think that this has been great.
Yeah.
That said, what do we got? We got anything else for you, Jerry?
That was it for me.
Okay. Well, that's our show. And thanks for listening. Jerry, why don't you tell us a little bit about the contact stuff?
Okay. Okay. Let me see. Oh, hang on one second. I'm sorry.
We flipped the script on Jerry. That's why.
Yeah. If you like the podcast, hit the subscribe button and give us 5 stars. Also, if you want to write in or leave us a message, you can find all our contact information at podcastica.com.
And while you're at podcastica.com, be sure to check out our other shows. I know they just started The Last of Us. I know that's a big video game. Mm-hmm. They just finished Lord of the Rings, and they did. I know they just brought on Run for Your Life, which is doing some really good stuff. I think they're doing, what is it called? The Menu is coming up.
Yes.
Yeah. And I don't know if they're doing something with it's Showtime. I know. Oh, they just did Avatar. That was it. They just did Avatar with, I believe, Kristen and Wendy. So we've got a lot of stuff going on. And if you like shows, pop culture, this is the place to be. And I know, you know, with all the Walking Dead stuff that's coming up, they're going to be covering that, as well as I know they're going to be covering Star Wars stuff and Marvel stuff. I mean, it's just, it never ends. So there's always something for somebody. What are you watching right now besides this show?
Well, I did watch, you know, watch some of 1883. I did, you know, again, I did watch Wednesday. I'm watching several other, you know, there's several, starting Kaleidoscope on Netflix.
Yeah, that looks really good.
Yeah,
that's with what's his name from Breaking Bad.
Yeah, Gus.
Yes, Gus from Breaking Bad.
His name escapes me at the moment. I'm sorry.
I know we're the worst. We are the worst.
Well, you sprung that on me. I should have expected that.
I know.
Giancarlo Esposito.
Yes, thank you.
I needed a second. Yeah. Yeah, the brain meat's not. Yeah, my brain meat's not what it used to be.
You know what? It's okay. Well, it does say next week we'll be covering, but we won't be covering anything mm-hmm. next week. We're taking a break until February, until that next episode comes out. There's no title of it, so we don't know what to think of it. And you know, I'm just excited that our characters are all alive right now. Absolutely.
Mostly.
And well, mostly we don't know about Harrison Ford or Jacob, but and it looks like we got a war coming, and it's going to be big. And, you know, we do know that there is a next season. So thankfully, you know, the next four episodes aren't the last four episodes, but I am so psyched for February to come. And I can't wait to start podcasting with you again on this awesome world. So,
yeah. And see, but the only downside to that is like, yeah, we get a second season, but if the trend continue, if it continues like what it just did, we got to wait till next Christmas.
Well, that's true. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, something is better than nothing. So, yes. that's what we got to do then. So I don't know. All right. So that's our show, and thanks for listening. And just remember, when Kara comes to a livestock meeting, the next meeting is next month, not in 2 weeks. It's next month, just like this podcast. So we are almost, sort of, maybe, out of here. Mm-hmm.